Going to spend the next two sessions on the gospel, because it traces the growth of light in a believer until he reaches the place where his movement of faith is the Holy Spirit's movement back to the Son. I do believe, and he worshipped him, not just bowed because everybody else is bowing, you know, and it's pretty beautiful. There's a text in Aquinas. He's commenting on Boethius' De Trinitate. And he talks about these two lights of faith. So I'm going to preface what I'm saying with this little text of Aquinas, comment on it briefly, and so we can move on. So he begins. See, there are two lights of faith. There's the light we see, and there's the light by which we see. At the end of this gospel, the light we see is standing right there in front of the blind man. And the light by which he sees has been given to him. It takes both. It says in Psalm 35, "In your light we see light." That was a theme song of many of In Lumine Tuo Videbimus Lumen. It's from the Psalm, I think it's 35:6. But it's this notion. I can't see the light, brilliant, shining on the face of Christ Jesus, unless I have a light within me. And so, here's the text. "So also in the faith, by which we believe in God, there is not only the accepting of the object of assent," that's the light I see, "but something moving us to the assent. And this second is also a kind of light. It's the habit of faith, which is a light." See, faith is a way of knowing. It's not allegiance to a party platform or even to the church. It's nice to be, you know, loyal to the church. But faith is a way of knowing. And so you see, there's a kind of light, the habit of faith, divinely imparted to the human mind. It's a gift. Here. You want to see me? Here's the light by which you can start now and finish it in heaven. When that light that I give you is transformed and is the light of glory. Okay. "The habit of faith divinely imparted to the human mind. It is more capable of causing assent than any demonstration." We yield to this. Why? Because while it is light, it is desirable. It is appetible. You see, faith resides in the mind, but it's caused by the will. You tell me bodies fall at 40, what is it? 22 feet per second per second? I forgot what it is. Anyway, I don't believe you. So I do an experiment. Sure enough, you're right. I'm forced by the evidence. There's no evidence, son. It's going to force. But this light causes assent more than any demonstration. But you have to go out for it. You have to desire it. And if we're busy all the time, mad all the time, drunk all the time, whatever, we don't get it. This light, you see, more capable of causing assent than any demonstration. But it's an assent that I have to will. It is clear then that faith comes from God in two ways. By way of an interior light that leads to assent, and by way of the realities that are proposed from without and that had as their source divine revelation. So that blind man standing there, or sitting there probably in front of Jesus, you see, when he finally says, "I believe," something has happened. That is, he sees Jesus, the light. And the light that he, by which he sees it, he yields to that light. And he worships him. Now, you see, so that's this, what we're going to read about, is how this man goes from one to the other. It's a great help to help our people, you see, to give them a desire to know Jesus personally. To know God the Father, worship Him, love Him, talk to Him, trust Him, go with problems, tell Him to take it easy, whatever. But to talk to Him, know Him, not just talk to God, whoever He is. And that's this light, which is capable of causing ascent. But you have to want it. You have to say, yes, I want this. It's not like, water expands at 4 degrees centigrade. Every time, unless there's salt in it, that's what happens. And you're forced to believe because the evidence. No, you're led to believe. And it's a much greater light. It's a much greater truth. You see, it's light. Okay. As Jesus passed by, He saw a man blind from birth. The whole human race. His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? I mean, look at him. He's born blind. Did he sin in the womb? Or what happened? Jesus answered, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible. We have to do the works of God. See, we have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light you worship, and I am the light by which you see me. If you come to me, if you pray to me, if you fight every day for a prayer time, if you're starting to go to bed and you say, oh, I've never prayed today, at least I'm going to take 15 minutes. It doesn't happen often before you remember during the day because you want to go to bed. It's not a bad idea. Okay. And so we have this, you see, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When He had said this, He spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, smeared the clay on His eyes, and said to Him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. It's tough to know, there's a pool. It's an allusion to a text in Genesis, okay, which is also repeated in Isaiah, Genesis 49:10. For the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. You see, to the, I don't know why they translate it that way, to the one sent, you see, and he will be given the obedience of all the peoples. And it's Hashiloch. Shalach means send in Hebrew. Then in Isaiah 8:6, because these people have refused the water of Shiloach, of the scent, see, that flow gently, and because they melt now in fear before resin, therefore the Lord is bringing up against them, they've abandoned coming to me. So here comes this guy to invade the town, and they are scared to death because they've forgotten to come to me. Now you say, oh, those dumb Jews. Ha! We do any better? Right now, the economy is going bad. Looks like the government's going to start persecuting Christians, or at least Catholics. And so we're all trembling. What about if we knew God? I mean, of course we'd be scared, but it wouldn't go to that depth. We know God. Okay. So, He sends them to the pool of the one sent. Who's the one sent? Jesus. Okay. So He went and washed and came back seeing. Not too surprising. Because He told them that would happen. Okay. You go to Siloam and wash. That's all the text says. My text. And He went and He washed, and He came back seeing. And so they said to Him, how did this happen? You see? And they say, You know, is this the one who used to sit there begging all the time? Some said it is. Others said, no, it just looks like it. He said, I am, which is very interesting. One of the commentators put it, I'm saying, I am the one that used to sit begging, and I am changed. I'm both. I'm the same subject of change, as we say in philosophy, you know. I've changed. Well, then how were your eyes opened? He replied, the man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed and I see. That's baptism. I went and I washed and I see. St. Justin, writing his Apologia, says, we call this bath, baptism, photismos, enlightenment, because the minds of those who have already learned these things are enlightened by this moment of sacrament. It all comes alive. That's what's supposed to happen at baptism. Well, we're little kids, you see, and that's why, as the Pope says, you see, baptism in the Spirit means becoming aware of what happened to us at baptism. It's an experience. What happened? The Holy Spirit began to dwell in us. So the baptism now is just conferring on us what happens at baptism. We see, we know, we love Jesus, you see? So I went and I washed and I see. Okay. That's baptism, right? That's so clear. I mean, in the double entendre of these words. So they said, where is he? He said, I don't know. So they bring this one now to the Pharisees. And they bring him to the Pharisees. And so now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Shabbat. So the Pharisees are going to go after him about this mud. Now, actually, in the first century, there was still a conflicting opinion about being able to use certain things to help the sick on Shabbat. But the Pharisees are only interested in how he did it. They never look at what he did. He made mud, he made mud, he made mud. He gave a man born blind his sight. Why don't you look at that? We do this all the time. You know? She's running around praying in tongues and making a mess of things. Is she? Or has she found God? Has she found God? That's a pretty exhilarating experience. And she'll go around telling everybody, driving everybody crazy. Oh, I don't want to hear it again, you know. But it's the same mystery. Okay. So they went to the Pharisees, who were the leaders. And now John, make sure we remember, he made clay. So when the Pharisees asked him how he was able to see, he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. See now, see what he says? Some of the Pharisees said, he is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. He made mud on the Sabbath. Okay, we're going to pick that up at that point.